At this time, you can go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 today. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's go ahead and begin reading. I'm going to read the whole chapter once again. I got to grab my glasses this morning. I'm sorry. You know, when you've been sitting in class for a couple days, I felt like I haven't talked, and so I just want to talk a little bit. Anybody else get like that? No? Well, we're going to be doing some talking this morning. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 2. I'm going to explain something. We left off in verse number 19 last week. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21 this morning, but I'm actually skipping those two verses specifically because I'm going to be dealing with these two verses this afternoon at 4 o'clock service. But we will be dealing with verse 21 down to verse number 26. Verse number 2, chapter 2, verse number 1, it says this. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Let me stop there. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you been able to practice that this week in your life? Can a certain situation come to your mind? Okay. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse number 2, it says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Okay, I'm going to stop right here. Have you had the opportunity? We're changing just a little bit in how we're operating here in our Sunday school class. And I'm going to say this for a reason. Sunday school class is about getting involved. Okay? So with that being said, have anybody in here this morning had an opportunity to teach somebody about Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about opening up your word and say, "Hey, let me show you this." I'm talking about, "Hey, can I share with you what I've learned this week?" Has anybody had that opportunity? I encourage you to take that opportunity, because the biggest problem we have with independent Baptist believers is this: mouths that stay closed. We're to, like Paul said, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So whenever you get an opportunity, you should take that and teach others. It's a great responsibility that really lies upon our shoulders. You know, for 2 days, I got taught for 2 days. Learned some valuable stuff. And people want to learn what you're being taught, believe it or not. They want to learn those things. Okay, let's begin in verse number 3. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Okay? So that being said, we've probably endured some hard times this week, have we not? Maybe we've had some setbacks. Maybe we had some things that probably knocked us off our feet that we weren't expecting, caused some delays in our life, or maybe I can say this from what I used Sunday night, an interruption that took place. But even with that being said, remember, Paul's talking to Timothy for a reason. He's telling these things. Hey, just endure it. Why? Because God is with you. God will get you through those difficult times. In other words, he's saying to Timothy, I want you to trust God in the eye of the storm. That's what he's saying. And I want you to endure those things because it's going to be worth it. And he gives us 3 examples of how we'd endure it. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that weareth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Talking about the athlete here in this verse. Verse number 6 goes back to the farmer here. That's what a husbandman is. Dan, that's your title this morning. Will, that's your title this morning. You're a husbandman. Isn't that a nice title to have? It says verse number 6, "The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." I like this verse too, and I'm doing this for a reason. I'm picking this apart as I go on this morning for a reason. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Who here understands the Word of God completely? None of us do. We all fail to have the whole knowledge of God. Why? Because we're human. I'm looking forward to the day. I'm saying this for a reason. I'm looking for the time when I get to heaven where a light bulb's finally going to click, Mrs. Lidgett, because you know my learning disabilities, and a light bulb's going to click, and it's going to say, wow, that's what that meant. You know, we might not have all understanding right now on earth, but one day, once we get into the presence of God, we're going to have all understanding of God's word. There's going to be nobody with a learning disability in heaven. We're all going to be on the same page. Isn't that exciting? Mike, you're a teacher. You would love for all your students to be on the same level as you, wouldn't you? And that's what you're striving for. You're striving to give them understanding in everything. You have a great responsibility. You and I are really no different, except I'm here at a church doing it. You're in a classroom. And man, when you think about this, you're shaping and molding the lives of young individuals. What a great responsibility. So with that being said, thank you for what you do, because that's encouraging. And what's exciting is, you don't know this, but Mike was in my teen class along with Ashley. And it's exciting to see these young people, young adults here. It's exciting. Well, as we continue to go on, if you're awake, please say amen. Amen. Okay. It says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds, but the word of God is not bound. You think about this. There's nothing that can keep the word of God from living. That's what that really means here. Let's go on to verse number 10. It says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Paul's explaining to Timothy, saying, hey, I've had some battles, Timothy. I've had some heartaches. I've been stoned. I've been left for dead. I've been ridiculed. I've been in prison, not just for days at a time. I've actually sat in prison, Timothy, for a year and a half. Matter of fact, this epistle here is a good year in prison. So he's enduring these things. Why is he doing it? For our sake. For our sake. Think about that. Think about men of God who are willing to stand up and suffer things for the congregation that God has called them to lead. It's a worthy man, isn't it? So, Paul here is not boasting about himself. What he is telling Timothy is, hey, Timothy, there's going to be some hard times. I've been around long enough in this church. I've seen some hard times. Dallas and LaDonna, they've been here since I can ever remember. Tom and Melody, they've been here since I can remember. Patty and Bill, you've seen hard times. But what I've known in those hard times, guess what? God is always with us. You know what we focus on during those hard times? We focus on the storm. We see all the clouds and all the mess that's around us, and we think that there's no way out. But there's a song that's been sang in our church a few times. God already sees the rainbow when we only see clouds. It's a beautiful song when you begin to think about that. I was praying this week, actually on the airplane on the way home Friday night. And I had some good flights, but I'm not a big fan of turbulence. And the pilot, he told us when we took off, he said, hey, we're going to experience some turbulence, so just want to let you know there's going to be no drinks and snacks, all that stuff. I'm like, it's only an hour. Why do I need a drink anyway? So anyway, yeah, some do. But anyway, the turbulence got pretty bad. I'm on my phone. I was trying to distract myself so I wouldn't pay attention to it. And so I'm on my phone, and I'm playing Bejeweled. No, Candy Crush. I finally got into my wife's favorite game. Like, well, this can distract my wife for hours. Maybe it'll help me to distract my mind for the next 10 to 15 minutes. And so I got on there, and I'm playing Candy Crush. I'm crushing it, Jordan. And I just got my head down, and I got two guys on beside me. They make these planes as if you know, I can't sit in those seats. So I'm like this, and I'm down, and all of a sudden I'm doing really good, and all of a sudden I go, whew, man, that turbulence came in. I put my phone down. I was like, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, I started praying for the next 20 minutes on the plane. And I said this, God, you already see the rainbow. I'm focusing on the clouds. And so I prayed right there. And then here's what I did. God took my mind, Uncle Greg, God took my mind off of my problem. And I began to focus on everybody here in the church. Not that you're a problem. But I began to pray for you folks specifically. By name. The next thing I know, we're landing. See, God took my thoughts off of my storm, and he allowed me to put it on you folks so that I can pray for you. And I'm so thankful for that. So therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also attain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. We dealt pretty in depth in the last couple of weeks with the next couple of verses. But verse number 15, I love this verse for this reason. It says, study to show thyself approved. And most people will stop right there. Study to show thyself approved. I'm not to study the Word of God to show myself approved to you. You're not to study the Word of God to study to show yourself approved to me. We're to study to show approved unto who? Unto God. There ought to be a daily growth in our life. I'm going to put it to you this way. It's the only way I can think of, because you guys know me. I have a simple mind. The way we find ourselves gorging on snacks is really out of how we ought to find ourselves gorging in the Word of God. Does that make sense? Yeah, exactly. Can't get enough. Because some people in recent weeks have given me Milky Ways and I can't get enough of it. I try to discipline myself and I'll eat one of it and man, this is really good and I can't have another one. I don't want my sugar levels to go up. And so I put it down and 5 minutes later, I'm on my fourth one. I'm thinking this isn't good. But when you think about it, if we are to gorge ourselves in the Word of God, there's going to be growth for us on a daily basis. I'm not meaning to do this purposely, but I'm really seeing what God's doing here this morning. We're really kind of just basically rehashing what we've learned these last couple weeks, and it wasn't my intent. So study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So what's that mean there? Okay, as a child of God, we're considered workers. We're servants, right? So servants, we work. And so because we're servants of God, what do we have to be ashamed of? Right? What do we have to be ashamed of? We get embarrassed about things, and that's how we normally tend to shy away from trying to be a witness to people in this world. We get embarrassed, and when you think about it, when you're embarrassed, you're kind of ashamed. Friday, I was sitting down with a man that's been in our church before, Pastor Green from Michigan. You guys might remember him. He preached here a couple years ago, and we went out to breakfast that morning, and we were eating. Obviously, when you go for breakfast, and I normally don't eat breakfast, but I couldn't pass up an opportunity. When somebody says, hey, you want to go for breakfast? I said, sure, I'll go. So I went, not knowing The whole entire time that I was with them, I had something hanging from my chin. And he tried to tell me, he says, Brother Springer, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if you got a wild hair. He goes, but you got something there. You know, automatically, you know what happens to me? When somebody points out my flaws, I get embarrassed. I get ashamed of myself. I truly do. And so I try to pick this thing off. I'm trying to get at it. And he starts laughing. He goes, Brother, it's still there. I think you got a big hair. You forgot to shave it or something. But anyway, long story short, I went to the restroom. I saw what it was. Like, oh, okay. I cleaned off my nose and I was in a hotel and didn't realize I left some stuff on my chin. I got embarrassed. I was ashamed of myself. Silly illustration. But as a child of God, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We should boast about our faith in God. We should share that with the world. No matter who comes our way, we should share that with the world. So he gives some reasons why we're to study. We talked about this last week. It says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. It's going to give us spiritual discernment as we study God's word to shun those things that are not godly. That's what it says here in verse number 16. It says, but for shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. It says, and their word shall eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Okay, so here's some more good reasons for us to study the word of God. Amen? Because we don't want to be giving false statements out about the word of God. Now understand something. When you do public speaking, you're going to mess up. Some things are going to come out of your mouth that is not always going to make sense. You're going to misuse some words at times, and that happens. It's not done purposely. You folks know that. I do that quite a bit, a lot. But there's a difference between going up there and speaking falsely all the time. I said this before, false teachers do not have to study. Why? Because they want to spread a false message. So they're not going to study. And so here's what Hymenaeus and Philetus did. They were passing out false information, but they started on the right path, as I said last week. But along the way, guess what happened? Some people bought into their philosophy of teaching, and it did what? Some fell from their faith. The last thing you and I want to do is not study God's word for a few reasons. And one of them is this, because you don't want to err from the faith and have other people follow you. I say this for a reason. We have a lot of false teachers, false preachers in our world today. And they're not teaching the truth from God's word. We know that. And what is taking place? They're bringing people with them, not knowing the truth. Now, I will say this. Some people might have a problem with this, but I am a firm believer that God can save anybody, anywhere, at any church, under any preacher. Some will take an argument with that. You can take an argument with that all you want. We can agree or disagree. And then you're going to say, well, why do you take that stand? Because I know of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how I know that. When God's speaking to that individual's heart, God's the one who does the saving. Not the man of God. Not you or I. Okay? Well, verse number 19 says this. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. So that backs up what I just said. Even if someone is preaching falsely, guess what's always sure? Guess what's always truthful? It's the foundation. It's the foundation. You know, the foundation is important. Without a foundation, this building would not be standing. If you're to walk over here to our east, you guys see where our trash can's at. Some folks have been here for a long time. You know what used to sit over there. Who remembers a house that sat over there? Okay, I remember that house very well because I remember the people that lived there tortured us kids when we lived next door, because when you pulled into the driveway on the left, they used to have a row of tulips. I hate tulips to this day. Why? You're laughing, Mrs. Lidget. Because they used to make us pull the weeds. Pulling weeds for people is not a fun job. We did that for one of our people in our church this past year on a Wednesday night when we're helping people. And you know what kept coming to my mind as I'm down here pulling weeds? I hate tulips. I hate tulips every time I kept pulling them out. But anyway, you look over there, you see the area where the trash can is sunk. Does anybody see that? You look around that, and what you have around that is a foundation. That foundation around that house is solid. It's not going anywhere. But you look around inside that foundation, because of the weight of a garbage truck that pulls through here every week, that inside that foundation has sunk. But you know one thing's for sure? We can probably go out there right now and build a garage on that foundation and it'll stand. Why? Because a foundation's secure. It's good to have a foundation in Jesus Christ because it stands for sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I talked a little bit last week in Sunday school about the sheep, the 99, and there was one that got lost. You know, and that shepherd went out to begin to look for that lost sheep and begin to yell, "Hey, Jordan, Jordan, your place of safety's here." I'm just using Jordan as an example. And as that shepherd began to call out the sheep, guess what? Jordan heard the voice of the shepherd and is able to come home. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Many of us have kids in here today. We know who our kids are. This is funny. Friday night, my wife and daughter, they think they're hilarious. What they don't realize, I'm the funny one in the family. They have yet to figure this out. And one day, Tom, they're going to laugh their heads off hysterically. They're going to say, "Dad, honey, you are hilarious. What took me so long to realize this?" You forgot to study me. But anyway, as I'm walking up, I'm about halfway up. I don't like airports now, how they seclude you from everything. I remember going down there, and you can watch them come off the tarmac or the terminal. That's a nice saying when you get on an airplane. I'm going to go walk the terminal. That's comforting when you think about it. But anyways, as I'm coming up, I was about halfway up. I spotted my wife. I spotted her head. And it's the first person I look for is her. And all of a sudden, here comes Jalen. She starts running, "Daddy, Daddy." down the runway. I'm not doing that again, Tom. I did that for a reason. The Lord knoweth them that are his. I knew that was my daughter, but guess what? Everybody else at 10:30 at night knew that that was my daughter. And I heard some lady, as I'm walking back up, my wife, I heard a lady say, "That was so sweet." The Lord knoweth them that are his. You know, we take pride in our children, do we not? We take pride in our grandchildren. I can't say grandchildren yet, but you folks take pride in your grandchildren. They're the joy of your life. Tom and Melody, they love supporting Aaron. Even if they got to drive 6-7 hours, they'll go there to support. Why? Because it's an offspring of their daughter. And all of you folks are like that. Hear those great stories. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Can someone tell me what time it is? Oh, that's it? Okay. I got plenty of time left. Verse number 19, let's finish this. It says, "And everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel in honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, I'm not going to say anything about these two verses because I'm going to be dealing with these this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So verse number 22, more instructions is being given to Timothy here. It says, flee also youthful lust. Think about that. Who would care to give an illustration of what youthful lust is? He said, oh dear. It's like, nobody wants to go into their past, do they? So in other words, to save us all from embarrassment, avoid those things, avoid those temptations that cause us to stumble. Why is Paul saying this to Timothy? Because Timothy is not just a babe anymore. He's a teacher of God's word. He's a preacher that's going to go on when Paul's done. And the last thing that you would want a preacher to do is fall back into his youthful lust, his adolescence. We've had some great men at camp throughout the years. And I haven't been to camp for about 5-6 years. And I'm actually looking forward to going back this coming year. But we put so much emphasis on the man that's given a message instead of the emphasis upon God. I'm saying this for a reason. There's so many people that, man, you got to come to our church. You got to hear this preacher. You got to hear this missionary. You got to hear this evangelist. He's so great. What are we putting our focus on? We're putting our focus on man. I'm saying this for a reason. I have known many men who have been in a pulpit who went back to their youthful lust, and they fell into a life of sin. One of the hardest things I had to do was to tell my older brother about a man that had a tremendous message at camp that really a God just life turned back around. And the emphasis that week, you remember when Verizon came out with their saying, can you hear me now? They go in a car and they'll go under a tunnel, can you hear me now? They'll go on top of a mountain, can you hear me now? Well, that was the theme that week. And the theme was this: when God's talking to you, and he will stop every once in a while and he'll say, can you hear me now? Or if you're going through an unfortunate circumstance, hey, can you hear me now? Well, Jeff's lifestyle at that point in time, and he wouldn't mind me saying this because it's his testimony. Jeff's lifestyle at that point in time was not glorifying to God. He would tell you he didn't like coming to church. He would look for excuses not to come to church. It's hard to believe seeing a guy up here leading us in music, but that was his life. He had a horrible attitude. And we all go through that. But God used this man with a tremendous series of messages at camp that week that changed his heart. And ever since then, Jeff's been growing. And we've seen his growth. Just we see each other's growth. Can I encourage you, step back a little bit and look at each other. And look how you've grown spiritually. Amen? But one of the hardest things I had to do was say, Jeff, this preacher that God used to change your life, I didn't want to tell him, but I just found out he had an affair and was having an affair even while he was preaching that message and lost his church of about 600 people. See, there's importance in this message. As Paul is talking to Timothy, flee also youthful lust. But he goes on and he says this, but you're to follow righteousness. Who's our example? God. The Word of God. Men who are in God's Word that have lived this and are testifying of this. Follow righteousness. Let's be honest, folks. We're not always fallen righteousness, are we? No. Why? Because we're flesh. Our flesh gets in the way. And we go after the desires of our own heart. That's what we do. But Paul's telling Timothy, especially when you're in a place of leadership, you should always be seeking to follow righteousness. I'm gonna say this. I'm going to stop right here. If you see any unrighteousness in me, you have an obligation to call me out on it. You truly do. And you say, well, you might be offended. No, I'm going to be offended if you don't. Because I got to live in the righteousness of God just as much as you do. So, flee youthful lust, follow righteousness. It doesn't stop there. Not only to follow righteousness, but what's that next letter? Anybody say it for me? Follow faith. How are you to follow faith? That's a good question. It's something that we don't see. But the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says, but without faith, say it with me, it is impossible to please God. So we got to have faith. I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, and your pastor used to say this, you got to have faith, baby. I'm going to be honest with you. I always cringed when he said that. Got to have faith, baby. But anyway, when I was growing up, there was a song, Got to Have Faith. And some people that grew up in my area know what I'm talking about. The guy that sang that song wasn't a godly man at all. But we are to, and he had no idea what that meant. But we're to follow not only in righteousness, but we're to follow in faith. Verse number 22 says this, we're to follow in what? Charity. What's another word for charity? Love. So does that mean that we're to love ourselves? Well, let me ask you a question. Is it a bad thing to love yourself? Yeah, I would say so. It's pride, exactly. Dallas, that was me. And Mrs. Lidget, you knew that person back then. And I hope that person back then you don't see anymore. If you do, please tell me. But charity is love. Not only are we to love Christ, but we're to have a love for each other. We're to have a love for each other. I'm not boasting here. God has just really given this to me. This I have no notes in front of me but the Word of God. But you know why I prayed for you folks on Friday night more than I did throughout the week? It's because I love you folks. There's a lot of pastors in this country that do not love their congregation. They love the paycheck, but they don't love the congregation. Austin's got three beautiful girls. I love it when they're here. Now I am embracing them with hugs. Why? Because I love them. Now I can't remember their names all the time, but that doesn't matter. And they're joyful when they see me. Why? Because they know there's a love there. Folks, that's how we ought to be. Amen? Sharing our love with each other. Ashley, she's here this morning. She loves hugs. Actually, she doesn't. But we're to love each other. Ashley, you killed my illustration. So we're to flee youthful lust. We're to follow righteousness. We're to follow faith. We're to follow charity. And then it says, follow peace. Throw that word in there because it's a continuance of that. So what do you mean? We're not to be people that cause a strife. We're not to be people that goes around and tries to cause division and try to get people to go at each other. honestly, our job is always is to defuse the situation. Bring peace. What's the best way to bring peace in somebody's life? If they don't have Jesus Christ, you got to share Jesus Christ with them. Plain and simple. You got to have peace. You know, there's a lot of people that have no peace. Why? Because they don't have Jesus Christ. And we got to help them during that time. Yesterday, someone tell me if I'm right around 10 till, because I don't have a clock in front of me. Yesterday, I was in my garage, I was cleaning it out, and I was on the phone, and all of a sudden I heard this, boof! It scared the fire out of me. And so I walked out to the front. We got a stop sign on the corner. I walked out to the front. There's nobody there. It's like, okay, nobody ran a stop sign. Good deal, nobody got hurt. 2 minutes later, I'm hearing all sorts of sirens. And the sirens I heard are the kind of the sirens you hear overseas in England. You rarely hear those sirens in our town. I was like, what's going on? So I seen them on the other street. Nothing. I just seen them pass by. So I looked out in my backyard, and I seen a bunch of lights just flashing. And I walked down the corner, and I seen a truck. I knew, recognized the truck. It was my neighbor about four or five houses down. A young kid on a dirt bike was doing about 50 miles an hour. And that boom that I heard was him hitting the truck. I don't know if he lived or died. I actually walked over there trying to bring a calmness and a peace to the situation. His wife, who's a registered nurse at CHI, she was on the passenger side in the front. It hit so hard, she got knocked out. It took him a few seconds to wake her up, but once she woke up, her instincts kicked in. She got out of the truck, very weak, wobbly. She got out of the truck, walked around, and started administering CPR to the kid that just hit them. I saw the kid get put on a stretcher, blood coming from his head, no helmet. The dirt bike was underneath the truck, and I don't know if he's alive or not, to be honest with you. But when I seen her, I thought she was the one who was hurt. What was she doing? She's trying to bring peace to a young man who was probably hanging on for his life. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're to bring peace. We're not to bring any type of harm towards anybody. We see a situation that's escalating. We're to bring a peace to it. And how do we do that? We do that because we have Jesus Christ in our life. Well, I saw the time. I heard some folks out there, so I'm going to have a word of prayer. We'll pick this up next week. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to go through your word. Thank you for speaking in our hearts, and we ask it in your name. Amen.